With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to Leviticus chapter 13. We have a long chapter, so let's buckle up together, give our attention to the hearing of God's inerrant, infallible, and inspired word. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look upon him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. And when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him clean, and pronounce him, to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again, and be changed into white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague, he is clean. The flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed, and in the place of the boil there be a white rising, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. And if when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scald, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the skull 7 days. And in the seventh day the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the skull shall he not shave. And the priest shall shut him up that hath the skull 7 days more. And in the seventh day the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair, he is unclean. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of the flesh of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. And if the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head downward toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy, and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague, and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in a skin, or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy, it is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or anything of skin, wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed his color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. And if the priest look and behold the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appear still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in any thing of skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing of his most holy word. So we come to a passage of scripture now. These next two chapters, we're going to talk about leprosy. In the beginning of our discussion here, I want to make known a couple of things. The first thing is, notice the wide basket that we would consider leprosy here. I know that in our age of scientism, that we're prone to look at this leprosy and we're to define it. We want to define it as a mold, as a fungus, as a bacteria, as a something. We want to make it something that we can treat medically and be done with. This is not what this is for. The Lord is teaching a church under age through a physical anomaly, something that I believe has not existed before or since, that there is something that we would call leprosy of the soul, that is sin, and that he's teaching his church under age about sin and its contagion and how it is to be handled. So I don't think leprosy, that is translated here as leprosy, is the same disease today that we call leprosy. I believe this is a spiritual application of spiritual truth, teaching the people of God about sin and its infections. Okay? Notice how wide we have this understanding here. We have boils, and we have scabs, and we have scalds, and we have bright spots, and we have dark spots, and we have hair that grows a different color, and we have other such things. Then we move to garments. Next, in the next chapter, we're going to move to houses that are leprous as well. All of this to teach the people of God that we can have sins that are personal, sins that are incited by inanimate objects and other such truths as these. So, we're not talking medical things here. And I know that there are some good churchmen who would say that leprosy is something that, as it's described here in these chapters and in a few other places of Scripture, that this is teaching the church how to do medical science. I don't think that's true. It's not my view, although I would say that there are men that hold that view that are good churchmen and can be listened to. They are profitable. But that's not my view here. It doesn't correspond, this disease, to what we call leprosy today. It's a special dispensation of God to the Israelites to teach them of sin and the contagious nature of it. There are things about separation here also that teach us as integrated persons, that is, we can be sick of body, we can be sick of soul as well. That if our bodily sicknesses are in some sense contagious, so our soul sicknesses are also in some sense contagious. And so there is such a thing as excommunication, putting someone outside of the church. There is also something else as what we would call suspension for a time. And this is seen here, isn't it, in the 7 and 14 day suspensions from freedom. The other thing that is necessary for us to understand here is that it takes authority to do this. In the next chapter, when we talk about the remedy for leprosy, beloved, if we're talking about medical science here, then it's, okay, well, when you're well, you're free. That's not how it goes, however, in chapter 14. In chapter 14, what we will read is, the priest that maketh him clean will do this or that. How can that be? Isn't he clean by virtue of him being healed? You see, because we're not speaking only about a physical malady here. We're speaking about communion with the worshiping assembly, suspension from the worshiping assembly, suspension or excommunication from that worshiping assembly, and indeed being put out of your home and having to live a separate existence altogether. Beloved, you cannot deprive people of freedom like that without due process. And so there is authority that is involved, should be in the church and in the state. And because authority is involved, we recognize, if the events of the last 3 years have taught us anything, that authority can be abused. There is such a thing as abuse of authority. And we've talked through that already, so we'll not belabor it here. All right, so in the first section then, and I have that as verses 1 through 15, it is the priest that judges the spot. And so we want to remember that Christ is our high priest, and he is also our judge, and his judgment is final. We don't get to negotiate with our priest. No deals, like the sign says. No deals here. We note also that our high priest is long-suffering. The priest is told to wait 7 days and to wait 14 days, not just to make a snap judgment. But our priest is long-suffering. And so this tells us as churchmen today that we wield that authority of ecclesiastical power gently and with great caution. That you cannot simply deprive people of their ecclesiastical freedom on a whim. This must be done with great care. Notice also that leprosy must be, quote, deeper than the skin. Well, this is one of those great places where we're told that our sin runs deeper than our surface, doesn't it? It is what infects our soul and our minds, and it infects our thinking and other such things. And beloved, we must then be healed from the inside out by our great high priest. However, notice that he can be cleaned or proclaimed as clean. Also, he does not need to abide in his uncleanness. In other words, while we see a couple of places in Scripture, say King Uzziah, where King Uzziah arrogated divine prerogatives to himself and went in the temple to burn incense, the leprosy rose up in his forehead, right? He was forehead bald, right, as it says here in the passage, and he had that spot. He was separated for the rest of his life. He never came back into the church. But remember that the sentence of leprosy could be overturned. If you got up one morning and the Lord had healed you, you could go back to the high priest and he could pronounce you clean and you could be restored to the worshiping assembly. This is what the ancient Hebrews on the ecclesiastical side called eximologesis. That's a big fancy word. It's a Greek word, which means you can confess your sin and you can be forgiven and restored to the worshiping assembly. Restored to the table of the Lord and to the full communion of the church. And so all these things are seen by way of symbol here. So a man's freedom is a gift from God, and this can only be done, only be taken from him with right and just process. Okay, so notice also then the flesh, this is verses 18 through 20. that sin can find a foothold in a former weakness. Don't we learn that? Don't we see that in our own lives? Right? There's this boil, and the leprosy breaks out of a boil. Remember that a boil made someone unclean. Any bodily issue made someone unclean. Right? We're going to see, as the King James describes it, raw flesh. Literally, the word is hayah, living flesh. In other words, the blood is exposed. Right? It's raw in that it's red. And when that happens, the blood is exposed. That's unclean. That's the part where people are put out. They're put out for that. Right? But notice, sometimes this can rise up in a former weakness. And so, beloved, we want to make use of our former temptations and failings for good and not for ill. One of the things that we learn from our larger catechism when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is that we would use even our former sins as ways to resist temptation, not to fall more quickly, but to resist temptation instead. So then also we have this burning or inflammation. And sometimes don't we get our affections turned into a particular way that they only make temptations worse and harder to resist. And so this portion teaches us how we must watch over our affections and not become burning in a desire that is an illicit desire, that we cut it short soon rather than it break out into something that requires further action, perhaps even separation from worship, from the assembly. Then we see that sometimes it can take place upon the head. That even that part of us, remember, we're told to wear the helmet of salvation, not to have the plague of leprosy in our head. That in this most vital part, we can be leprous in our most vital part. Our thoughts, affections, the genesis of all of our doing can be infected. The first thing that people see is our face, our head. That's why the head is called the, in Scripture, it's the kephali, but in the Hebrew, it's called the rosh. But rosh doesn't also mean head. It also means the first in line, the one who's at the front, the head or first of a nation, a king, and so on. And so as our head is the first thing that people see and interact with, beloved, we want to make sure that we are clean there. We must lead with uprightness. Then in the next section, verses 38 through 46, we have the treatment of lepers. Their clothes are rent or torn as a sign of judgment and separation. Their head is shaved as a sign of shame because sin is a shameful thing. He shall cover his lip. He is not permitted to speak to another. Even his breath is to remain within himself, lest he infect another. This is that contagion that we talked about earlier. His cry is unclean. There are many today that advertise their uncleanness in their carriage, in their immodesty, in their pride, and in other such ways, rather than a proper humiliation for sin. And then note also that there is to be grace. There is to be examination. He is not simply thought to be unclean, and so he's put out. But there is justice and equity that is involved in that. Then in verses 47 and beyond this final section, it points up the holiness of God that must exist even in materials that we use. Cloth, whether it's skin or wool, it has a warp and a woof. It's a skin garment or some other thing that we would use for a covering or a blanket or something like that. That inanimate objects can contribute, can't they, to our sinfulness? We can be covetous. We can desire things as we ought not. And so notice what there is. Wash it. Cut out that sinful, that offending part. Get rid of it. If you wash it and it becomes clean, then use it rightly. And so, are we talking about a physical thing? Yes, this was a physical thing that took place in Israel. But it has so much deeper underpinnings than that. We must see it in this way and also in the other. We must see it physically, that we would not want to infect one another. We would not want to see one another catch leprosy from each other. If someone is unclean, he is put aside. But remember now, in the days of the New Testament, uncleanness is in a different category. It is not tactile. It is not what you touch. It is not the breath that falls upon you, no matter what COVID purveyors tell you. It is rather a moral uncleanness. And for that, people are still separated. There can be a trial, there can be a time, there can be a time of censure. And then if they remain in that estate of uncleanness, finally they must be put out with grief. And we are to treat them rightly. Remember that two stage of understanding in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Admonish him as a brother. He's not yet put out, although there is some discipline. Continue to admonish him, to warn him. Repent, brother. But then there comes another time, say in Matthew 18, where we are forbidden from treating them as brethren any longer. And we are to treat them as tax collectors and heathen because they remain stubborn in their sins. Well, beloved, so there's much to learn there from the study of leprosy. Let us not make it a medical manual, but a spiritual guide. Let's stand and continue praising God then in this